This is the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up for the Xperia XZ Premium Smartphone from Sony with a 4K HDR screen and super slow-mo video playback.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Nice start to the weekend.
Put moron number two on the phone.
It's Monday, hey, Fat.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, winter's hit, Fat.
It has.
Hadn't it just clobbered us around the ears?
Beautiful.
Bloody freezing cold and windy.
Open
and
fire,
wet.
Oh, yes, red.
I had both of those things yesterday. It was absolutely superb. I tell you what, we've got is a big show coming up.
Big
always,
show.
Damo, first up on a Monday. Ooh. Tell us exactly what's going on in the magnificent world of the AFL.
Yeah.
And then in the second hour, the top flight.
Oh.
New job for her.
She has got a new job. We'll ask her all about that, Jimmy.
We will be. I sense she's not as sort of involved in us anymore.
No, dropped
moved
off.
On.
Dropped right off.
Like, just sort of mentally moved to another place.
That's it.
Which interests me.
Yep.
And I see this is a Monday. I see a couple of bouts of topics.
Yes.
And next to both of them, I'm seeing the wrong name. I'll be brutally honest.
What?
So, we normally don't hand a Monday show over to you.
No.
But apparently that's what we're doing.
Oh, because we need a good show, Jim. Oh. It's Monday. We've got to get over it. And, yeah, I'm well. Thank you.
Nice g'day, to see you, Bill.
G'day, listeners. And g'day, you, Leroy.
Have you got yourself some new shorts yet, Bill? We've all seen enough of Little Bill for one season.
Oh, I love that, Jim. It's Darwin Cup Day today,
is it?
Too, Monday.
It's
yes.
Going to be better weather up there.
Carlton Mid Darwin Cup, by the way, Jim, at 5:55. Look forward to that.
Yes.
And a bit of news. I tell you what, I am hearing some more news, Jim.
Well, go on.
And if it's true,
yes,
that is it.
Oh, no. Well, no, we're going to talk to Damo about this.
Yeah.
Because it's swirling around Melbourne.
The match review panel.
Oh, no. I'm talking about something else.
Oh, this is a tackling. But I'm hearing, Jim, that, again, it might be good for another two Geelong players.
Oh, no.
In the match review.
And Sell gone.
Selwood gone. Paddy comes back. I suppose that's about three of
Bill,
them.
Bill, bloody things falling apart.
Have they what? Well, if I'm hearing what's true, Jim, today, a couple of boys might be suspended for a week and 2 weeks,
well,
which would be absolute
crap. I'm hearing some other stuff as well.
Well, what else?
That went on the weekend.
Well, Papley dived.
No, I'm hearing some other things, Bill. Within some of the biggest media organisations in this town.
Yes.
And in a forensic investigation into some behaviour, Bill, that I actually don't believe.
I cannot believe it.
It's so appalling.
Yes.
I can't believe it happened.
But then with this individual,
yep,
it can happen. Oh,
well, what we've got purple in next. There's no better newsbreaker in this game in the world, basically, as far as AFL's concerned. So we're going to get him in and hear what he's heard, because he's always first cab off the rank. But let me just tell you this.
Yes.
Saturday night into Sunday morning,
look out.
I've never seen stuff flicked around on text. I've never seen it. It was like a whirlwind, Bill.
Oh.
It was seriously, it took a life of its own. Blokes from everywhere. Blokes from other stations.
Oh, they were buying in too.
Big Rick.
Big Rick.
So Big Cho, who every now and then, because this is a man, as Purple will tell you in a minute, this is a man who always wanted to work for Triple M.
Yeah.
And seriously still does.
Still does.
So even he was buying in saying, I can't believe this. I just said, well, Rick, let's just get to the bottom of all the details.
Right.
I haven't all hit my desk yet, Bill.
But
might take till Saturday down at Geelong.
You're gathering.
For us to get to the bottom of what occurred. But it is as heinous.
Heinous.
A piece of behaviour,
right,
as we've seen for a very, very, very long time.
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me.
Well, Bill,
it doesn't.
We're purple in next. We'll just see what he knows.
Joel Selwood, of course, having an operation. He might be joined on the sidelines by Tom Hawkins and Mitch Duncan, hearing. If that's true, Jim, the MRP will get another bake, and I'm going to swear on air.
Okay.
They can get stuff that's true. Eastern Wood, too. He's got the hammy. You'll hear about that from Damo.
Damo, yep.
He might miss a few. Did you see the world champs over there? And our man, Usain Bolt, was in the 100, Jim.
I heard the call.
Well, let's have a listen to the call.
Away they go again. Really good start from Coleman. Bolt is chasing hard. Is he going to get back to him or is he not? Coleman is leading at the moment. Blake's coming. But is he going to run on track or is he going to get there? I think he's been beaten. I think Coleman took it. Very, very tight indeed that it was. I think Bolt's been beaten. The result has come up on screen. Gatlin's taken it.
Didn't call Gatlin
once. Goodness me, it was a blue American vest.
He didn't mention Gatlin's name once.
The winner
there.
Of the race, Justin Gatlin, never even got a mention in the 10 seconds of the call.
Exactly.
Bill.
So Gatlin won, Coleman second, Usain Bolt third, Jim.
Yep.
And then, of course, they had the medal ceremony where they got presented with the medals.
Yes.
And this happened.
Representing Jamaica, Usain Bolt.
Crowd go berserk.
Yes.
Gold medalist and world champion representing the United States of America, Justin Gatlin.
Well, Bill, twice convicted of taking
twice.
Drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
And twice banned for
twice
taking
banned,
drugs.
Twice banned, exactly.
So that's where that comes from.
I know.
And what, 35?
Yeah.
How are you winning the world championships at 35, Bill? 35 that's what everyone's
America.
Sort of piecing together.
So do you reckon Usain got the bronze? He goes, what is this?
Yeah, never seen one of them
would
before.
Would have thrown
hey,
it out.
Yeah. That. Give that to some kid on the way off.
Exactly right. Look
like a golfer that's just had a hole-in-one at a tour event.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Bill, we need to get to Damo next.
Oh,
lots
Damo.
To discuss.
Tackling.
With, oh, yes, please. So Damien Barrett joins us next on The Rush Hour.
This is Damo's recovery session.
The number one newsbreaker in football.
Co-Tire will help make your job happen. 13-15-52 or co-tire.com.au. Triple M.
Welcome, Purple, courtesy of Coats Hire. Now, we've got lots of MRP, we've got lots of footy to discuss, but Purple.
Oh, Jim.
The media world, television, radio, was in overdrive
Saturday night. Yeah.
Because a rogue photo was circulated
Now,
of a piece of behaviour, Purple, that is so despicable, I couldn't believe it. I'd have said that has been doctored.
Yeah.
This is a hatchet job on a man to try and besmirch his good name. And then it started to come through that some blokes are actually of the opinion that it's legitimate.
Well, there's two aspects to it. The photo itself and when was the photo taken?
And
that's probably the most important aspect, Jim. And I still to this moment can't absolutely 100% say to you it was taken at the point of time in question, which
that's
makes it a massive story. But I believe it was, and we're still working on it. But until we get to the bottom of it, we just can't go.
No names.
Saturday rub is where you need to. All points lead to 12 o'clock Saturday, because by then there'll be a man on the Saturday. If this is actually true, and I happen
and we believe it is.
I can't believe it is, because it's just so despicable. I can't believe it. But if it is in fact true, there's a man on the Saturday rub that will have the greatest field day of all time. He'll be still going 2 hours later.
Yep. Well, it's not you, Jim, and I don't think it's me.
It's not
in question.
No.
So that leaves two others.
And by geez, by jingoes, by crikey, it comes out to be true, it is wowee. Anyway, watch this space. We need to get the wagons aligned.
We know more than we knew on Saturday night, but just not quite enough to go with. Maybe by the Wednesday rub, we might have a little bit more to
bring. As I said, Purple, it so big was it that it actually went beyond the boundaries of Triple M.
I stopped watching the football on Saturday night to deal with this.
Blokes covering the football on Saturday night were getting involved while the game was on.
No,
it was extraordinary.
I missed the whole quarter and a half of that game.
And as a bigger story, the match review
is a bit flying around,
now,
Bill.
What's going on?
As you know, at this time on your program on a Monday, you get the full results of the match review panel, but there's
hearing
stuff leaking out. What have you heard? And I'll tell you if I've heard that's similar.
Tom Hawkins.
Yes.
Two.
I've heard that.
Surely not.
Again, what we'll do is we'll wait for it to be official, but this is flying around from people who... No, usually
and
no.
Mitch Duncan won.
Yeah, hearing that one too. With Zach Merritt won, hearing that, and hearing Grundy's three down to two. And I reckon that's right. I really feel that's right. Jim, I haven't heard your take on it.
I've only heard the same whispers. Look, the thing...
No, what do you think about the tackle?
The thing for me, let's get back to Hawk. The thing, no one in the world of football has a bad word to say about Tom Hawkins. He is as nice a bloke as you'll ever meet. He's a superstar footballer. But when I watched it, Bill, on the telly, I just looked at it and said, Hawk,
silly.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
you've already fallen foul of this twice,
and
you are right in the crosshairs of what the AFL judiciary don't want to see happen.
Yeah.
So you just leave yourself open.
You take every incident on its merits.
Well, not if you've got priors, though.
No, but that incident, that wasn't... I don't think he hit him in the...
No, but if you've got priors, you don't have the luxury of it being a fine. It's already elevated to the problematical suspension, which we believe it's going to be.
What, so you get reported now for hitting in the throat?
Well, there's a three-strike element to this now. Dustin Martin's on the two strikes.
Yeah.
Under this system... Now, I know we're talking a little bit in generics here, but as Jim says, it's twice in the past two footy seasons he's come under match review panel sanction, and as such, right now he's we believe he's going to be
Zach Merritt again. We all love Zach Merritt.
Yeah,
he is a young superstar and could well poll in the top three in the Brownlow. But what the hell was he thinking?
No idea.
To swing your arm into someone's guts as blatantly as that, you are asking for trouble.
I liked what John Worsfold did post match, where he just wasn't hiding around it. Right. He just basically, and I'm paraphrasing, expressed disappointment in it, Bill.
Yeah,
and just said the same thing you just asked him, why?
Yep. No, he got frustrated. He got bumped, heavy bump just before that. Yep. And the boy said he was pretty frustrated when he got up and just, and did that, which was certainly out of character.
It is. And just back on the Geelong component to the disaster of losing to the Swans on Friday night, Dangerfield missing, Selwood going down, suspensions to come, we believe. But Selwood, as we speak, is being operated on, Bill.
Yep.
It's an injury that kept Liberatore out for 4 weeks only last year, and that was a world record return from the syndesmosis and other attached problems around the ankle. And today, prior to going in for this surgery, he spoke on the app 24.
Obviously, didn't get the scan results that I was hoping for on the weekend. The ankle was actually feeling not too bad. Sad day. And then after catching up with the specialist today, we decided that we'll have surgery tomorrow. It's as simple as a tighten up of the ankle. So I'll go and have that done. Missed the remainder of the home and away season, but be ready for what's next after that.
And that's a best case scenario.
Yeah.
Obviously, with him saying that, he's saying he's back for week one of the finals, which I suppose is a 4 week break given the bye after round 23. But that, Jim, is absolutely best case scenario.
And they've got to make the finals. They've got Richmond, who will be favourites.
Well, they will make it. It's the top four.
Top four, which they might make. Week. And then they've got the Giants and Collingwood. So three tough games.
Oh, look, let's get to Brody Grundy and Ben Brown. These players are taught purple, and I've watched it happen, the tackling technique.
Yeah.
And that is pin the arms and make sure that the player's taken to ground so that he can have no further part in the play that ensues.
That's it.
Now, so this whole thing is going to be hard for players to...
Deprogram,
exactly. And the issue with Brownie is that he still had the ball, but he couldn't move. His arms were pinned, and then he got knocked out. Mm. Exactly the same as Danger the week before. If he hadn't been knocked out, I suspect it wouldn't have been as heavy a sanction. But at the end of the day, when a player gets knocked out in footy, we know what's going to follow.
But do you say mistakes happen in our game, and occasionally they're going to hit their head, and that's bad luck?
Not in a tackling motion, I don't reckon, Bill. I reckon the AFL have now said any time a player's concussed is good night.
But it's going to be so hard to change, because as you said, that's the perfect tackle. The coaches couldn't even work it out on the weekend.
Bill, it's not the perfect tackle when someone gets knocked out.
Well, it has been.
It's 2017. It is not the perfect tackle.
So what about then I fly for a mark against you and I knee you in the head?
That is an accident. That is an accident. This is now happening too regularly, and I really feel strongly on this, Jim. They're going to have a summit of sorts at the end of this year to address this. And as you say, they're programmed that way, but they're going to have to get it out of their system. And in the situation on the weekend,
League.
Well, we're going to have to. Yeah, we're just going to have to. And interestingly enough, Ben Brown, who may well play this week, as Matty Cruiser did last week after the Dangerfield situation, spoke this morning at North Melbourne, and in true keeping with the good bloke that he is, Jim, has got empathy for Brody Grundy, the man who put him into hospital on Saturday night.
I've seen a little bit of the vision of what he had to say, and you know, I kind of feel bad for him as well, because you know, these kind of decisions are real split second ones in game. So you know, hope he's feeling all right too.
Did you hear both coaches on this, Jim?
No, I didn't.
We got both coaches here. So this is Nathan Buckley, of course, saying about the tackle.
It was a perfect tackle. Perfect tackle. I don't think there was any malice in the tackle. He was tackling to dispossess, tackling to get the free kick, the way the rules are written. So what more do you do?
And then this is Brad Scott.
Buck said just before that it was, in his opinion, the perfect tackle from Brody Grundy. Would you say the same thing in terms of arms pinned?
No.
Sorry, what was...
okay.
Brad Scott was giggling. Mm. Yeah.
Of course, you're going to fly the flag for your player.
For both, exactly.
I don't have any issue with that. But, yeah, I'm with you, Purple. Whether you now need to sag to your knees when you're tackling a player, as the tackler, to protect the next movement, I don't know what the answer is.
Or push sideways or even bring them back towards you. I know these are all situations you can talk about in the cool light of day, not in the heat of the battle. But we're going to have to change because the AFL has gone out of its way to protect their head on so many levels. This is now the issue. It used to be the snide bump, didn't it?
Yep.
And then it was getting in low and whatnot and the head over the ball. Now it's the tackle.
Rugby league have changed the game a bit with it. You can't do the shoulder charge anymore, can you? Which would be hard to get.
You also can't lift a player. You're not meant to lift a player off the ground. Yeah. And so I'm with you, Purple. I think it will, at the end of the year, be a big focus.
It just has to be. We get to the last game of round 20, much anticipated showdown. What a fizzer. This is Adelaide and Port Adelaide. And I raise it as a positive, though, Bill, as we do, because I loved what Sam Jacobs did against the man of the moment Paddy going Ryder. Into it was Paddy Ryder. The swell, the groundswell to get him an All-Australian berth, and I've been on the groundswell, and the swell to get him there, he just got outplayed by a big source.
You see the inside 50s? At one start, at half-time, it was 11. Port Adelaide had gone inside 11. It was unbelievable, and Kenny Inkley, he didn't miss any. He said, Robbie Gray's the only bloke who can hold his head up. The other blokes were terrible.
See, I thought Tex was good early. When the game was hot and there to be won in horrible conditions, twice going back and slotting big time set shot goals from long range. As a leader in a showdown, I thought he was brilliant.
And the midfield, who we thought maybe was a bit doubtful, their midfield. Those Crouch boys.
Aren't they?
They are unbelievable. And Sloaney, of course.
Yeah.
The inside 50 count at the end was 81 to 31.
It's nuts.
A difference of 50, that's a record.
That's incredible.
A difference of 50 inside 50s.
And back on Big Tex and Jimmy, he did it in the first showdown this year too. And I know he has his critics, but he's done it pretty regularly as a leader.
I want to see him in a grand final, Tex. I just want to see that man play in a grand final because I reckon they are made for him.
Yeah. Well, you might
Brereton
see him.
Style.
You might see him this year. Yep.
And when you get to 6 premiership points ahead of the second place team after round 20, you're doing something very, very well.
Richmond are very good.
Yeah.
I have been a question marker with Richmond, but I thought I watched the first half of their game against Hawthorn, their pressure was elite.
Unbelievable.
It was elite. Yes. And Hawthorn, I didn't think, responded very well to it. I reckon Clarko would say that if you asked him that question.
Yep.
But their willingness to press up and come forward to defend and close down space and all the things that finals are about, they were fantastic.
And for the second week in a row, did it without Jack Riewoldt, and it would have had to have been one of the smallest forward lines ever put out onto an AFL venue, and yet did it with ease, didn't they? They
were
toyed
really good.
With the Hawks. He obviously comes back this week, you would think. So what that means for a big Ivan Soldo, you'd think that would be the potential out, but just going absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and I still give Clarko a big tick. To get that team to be anywhere near in a finals, when you look at the injury carnage they've had, it just shows you how good an operator he is.
And the two losses out of the six they've had, the Tigers of being of a bad nature, Adelaide earlier in the season and then St Kilda in round 16. But the other four losses have been by less than 2 goals.
Yep.
And it's now a body of work that makes us have to sit up and realise.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get a double chance by the look of it.
I'm still wanting to see what they do in the first final. And that's now almost certainly going to be a double chance final, isn't it?
It
so
is.
They're going to get the chance that they've so desperately coveted.
Yep.
GWS clicked into gear beautifully against Melbourne. Again, a bit like Richmond in that they did it with a very makeshift forward line.
Yeah.
Patton, Cameron and Green all out. And that was arguably the reason they were able to click into gear with the movement of the ball.
Who said it? Yeah, the orange tsunami was back, their run. But also, they are better side with a smaller forward line.
It's a strange situation.
No
they
Patton,
may well
no
be.
No Cameron.
Yeah. I mean, to bring both those big men back, and Green comes back in. They all come back in, obviously, but how they function, and Lobb's the other one who's going to be up there in that forward line, it just might slow them down a bit with the ball movement.
They put 9 goals on Melbourne
in
a minute and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just extraordinary, wasn't it?
Well, you did a score check at one stage, and it was 3 goals to Melbourne to 0 GWS, and then, 20 minutes later, it was 7-3.
We chatted to Jude Bolton afterwards, and I said to him, Jude, none of us know what GWS's best side looks like. You follow them much closer than us. Tell us who's out of this side that'll come back in outside of the 3 late withdrawals.
Mm.
And he only mentioned a couple.
Yeah,
so they're
did.
Getting near to their best side, I reckon.
Yeah, and Caniglio back.
Caniglio.
Did he say that yesterday?
Yeah, he said. We asked him off air.
Okay.
No G. Silent
no G.
Caniglio.
Okay.
So Caniglio,
yep.
And you know he's Italian.
Yep.
Do you know what a Caniglio means in Italian?
Tell me.
Rabbit.
Right.
There you go.
Okay, thank
just
you.
Just like you, Damien.
Thank
very
you.
Very good player.
Jack Billings was good late for St Kilda when they booted those late goals to get up against West Coast. And we just don't ever see West Coast win a gritty game of footy. They're not expected to win, do we?
Not in Melbourne anyway.
Well, not anywhere these days. They are looming as the greatest disappointment of this year. And you say that knowing, Bill, there's still a finals chance, but how they can still be alive in that race given how poorly performed they are in matches that they go into as 50-50 chances against. And I was glad
thank
to see Billings.
Josh Kennedy plays there.
Yeah.
And how good a player is he, by the
way? Bulldogs, four in a row. It's been against opposition in order, Carlton, Gold Coast, Essendon and Brisbane. Yep. So you package that up and it's four in a row. They've got three tough games remaining. GWS, Port Adelaide, Hawthorn. Jeez. If they win two of those three, you'd think they're going to get in.
Yeah, and, I reckon they'll sneak in. It's a matter of whether this patchwork form is then going to be able to... Because everyone thinks you can just flick a switch as soon as you get to September. I just don't believe that. I think they were unbelievable in September last year, but the way they're tracking, I don't know.
You know, it was good yesterday, the other day. Travis Cloak was all right up forward. Him and Redpath were both okay, but that's not there. They've changed it around a bit, that forward line.
And Easton Wood now won't play a part in at least the remainder of the home and away series with the hamstring injury.
You know who will, LeBont. They just threw him forward. They needed something.
Mate, how good is he?
Always been the danger. Time. As soon as you start getting him forward of the footy, that's where the real danger comes.
Tipper yesterday, Bill, your man, Anthony McDonald, tipping Woody, just an absolute star, Jim, as you know, and did the job that needed to be done against Carlton late in the piece and throughout the game. Joe Watson, there's just continual worries now, aren't there? It's been 2 weeks in a row where he's just been absolutely ineffectual. He had a reasonable game prior to that, and as we know, up until that point, it had been only so-so for 2017, and it now seems extraordinary to think that he'd go around in 2018, but that'll play out in the next three or four weeks.
Mine doesn't seem to be in it, does it? And we don't know that. We're judging from afar.
Yeah, but to have only four touches in a competitive game of footy up until half-time.
I tell you they'll miss. Razzle Dazzle.
Well, and Zach Merritt, if he comes out too, they're two big outs.
No, but Razzle's out for Hammy, with a quick bloke, he'll be three or four.
Speaking of Tsunami... to quarter time in that game, Essendon looked like they were going to kick 30 goals.
Yeah, they did.
It was they were just swarming the ball inside 50.
I think Duck said that at one stage of the coverage, didn't he?
It was unbelievable. And then suddenly Purple, it was like someone just turned off the tap.
Yep.
All of the dare, all of the run from behind, all of the sizzling ball movement just stopped.
Yep.
And they became safe and kicking back over the mark and long down the line. And you thought, what the hell are they doing? Mm. You know, all that they'd done to dominate the game to quarter time suddenly just stopped.
Yep.
It's they rare did. That you say, so congratulations maybe
to Carlton,
and Brendan Bolton for being able to stop them.
And also congratulations for Essendon to retrieve that situation too, because, you know, some clubs this year and maybe Essendon, you know, prior to this game, because we know how they threw that game away against the Sydney Swans and Brisbane in the last quarters of those consecutive weeks, and they've got this season back on track. I really like what they're
doing. Joe Danaher.
How
good?
Wow.
Isn't he a beauty?
Wow.
Bill, I hadn't seen Essendon live for a while. Yeah. Your eyes, like the great Wayne Carey, like Ablett, like your eyes are just drawn to him. Just as soon as it goes forward, you're looking to see where he is.
How well does he move through the middle and that? He likes to get on the bike a bit, doesn't
he? Puts distance on good defenders. Yeah. Like, he is going to be, if he isn't already, just nuts.
I think he is already, isn't he, really? Yeah. Sydney Swans, one more positive, Bill, before we move on to your favourite part of this segment. Really good, weren't they? And, again, the two matches they've lost in their past 13 have both been to Hawthorn by 6 points, and it's an extraordinary turnaround.
I know they've got Parker and all those boys, but Haywood can play. Papley's a bloody good
player.
Newman's a good player. Even Milliken, these guys, they just keep finding
They just walk in, don't they?
They do.
Okay, over the negatives, Bill. We'll bang through some of these. Geelong, just don't like what I'm seeing, Bill. Really don't like what I'm seeing.
We're
expecting bad match review panel findings too, and we know Selwood at best will be playing not again until the first final.
You know who's back, but Paddy.
Yeah,
thank you, Bill.
Yeah, and we might just touch on Geelong in about 1 minute's
time.
If
you send a bus down there, I'll punch you in the
head. We might just touch on them again. North, Jim.
Didn't
one
see the
goal
game.
To half time, Jim.
I didn't see the game. I was out, but geez, it really very,
don't,
very...
If you've taken it, do not bother with it.
No, I hear it was a very poor performance, and they won't shy away from that. That's not good enough.
I've been big on Melbourne, and I'm
Suva
not...
Suva go?
Suva...
Larky.
Larky. He got a kick. I saw.
Good.
Yeah. The three big men played, didn't they? Which is a strange configuration.
How did Goldstein go, by the way?
Not great, but no one was for North, really, in terms of what they would have set out to do. Yeah, look, but he did it after half time, and he was good. He was really good. And he went forward after half time after copping a bit of a knock. Melbourne, I'm still not going to write them off. They've got St Kilda, Brisbane, Collingwood. Yep. I reckon there's still a chance, but two losses in a row now. And again, GWS got them. North got them the week before. Hogan still being out for, a while. It's just falling away, isn't it? It's just falling away. We've touched on the tackle, and Port Adelaide we touched on in the showdown. Absolutely disgraceful. Ooh, and yet they sit, Bill, fifth.
They are fifth with 11 wins.
So now it gets us to that time of the week, Bill.
Take those glasses off.
When you go back to the Cremorne, you may as well get a lift in the... that we're taking down there, Bill, because we're going to camp it there.
Going down there, Bill.
And it's going to stay there until this game against Richmond. And you know what? I reckon it's going to be there next week as well.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
What happens if they win?
We'll bring it back.
Backs to the wall, us.
We'll bring it back.
The whole AFL have just checked up and they don't like Geelong.
So I might even get you to drive it down, actually.
Umpires are against us.
Yep.
Match review panel against us.
Yep.
You know what we say? Stuff them. We turn the lights on, new beginning down there, Saturday.
Well, you'll need to turn the lights on. It's a 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon start, but it'll be that dark and cold.
You've got to go down there and call. So
you'll have to turn
in.
The lights on. Might boycott.
Like someone else did on the weekend.
Calling it off tube.
Go to the Cremorne and call it with a pop.
Purple, great seeing you. Thanks for dropping by.
See you, boys.
That was Damo's recovery session.
Well done, Purple.
Coattire will help make your job happen. 13 15 52 or coattire.com.au. Triple M.
Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world, and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Triple M football Saturday afternoon, Bill. We were down a man with Bristol not there, so Naif Brown came in from the start.
Yes.
Did an unbelievable job in the rub and then an unbelievable job calling the game.
Oh, good boy.
But we put to Naif because, as you know, as well as anyone, back in his day, playing day, he was as sharp on the tongue, Naif, as anyone playing the game.
Very, very good.
Clever.
And also hurting or cutting.
Yeah, it could often be cutting.
Yeah.
Like they understand that after he kicked his fifth in a quarter on Jimmy Clement and Jimmy was going nuts, Naif waited till he stopped going nuts and said, "Don't worry, mate, one day you might be as good as me too." Like that's how he used to roll.
Oh, yeah.
Real smart ass
exactly.
sort of behaviour from Naif, which is one of the things we love about him, of course. So what we said to him is, Naif, if you were playing today, go through all of the 18 clubs and tell us who you would target verbally if you're out on the field today.
One player.
One player from each club and why. Have a bit of a listen.
Brisbane. Yeah. I'd wander over to Alan Christensen and just question why he's run out of Geelong. Carlton, Dale Thomas, the only man that's paid $47,000 a possession. Cats, I'd go Blixarves. You must have been pretty bad at athletics if you thought this was your go. The Hawks, I'm going to go up to Ty Vickery and question whether Jake King was trying to extort money out of Hawthorn to get it back. And the Western Bulldogs, I'd be reminding Bob Murphy no matter how many times you watch that vision of yourself on the day you didn't win a premiership.
That's Bambi he's gone after. Oh,
I tell you, Bill. Bob, he went Bob.
Bill, there were no prisoners. He took no prisoners through the whole club.
Alex Rance had a crack at him at Richmond, didn't he?
That's it. He said you met your girlfriend at 16, been with her the whole time. I'd say you've wasted your talents.
What about Tommy Jonas, too? Over at
he'd have a crack at him. Bill, it was very, very entertaining from Naif. So, hence,
well done,
not
Naif.
That we're doing the phone topic around it,
no.
But we've got the social media. Leroy, how do you get involved in that?
Yes, get in touch with us. Message us on Facebook or you can tweet us on Twitter by searching for Triple M's Rush Hour for your chance to win a clothing package thanks to Nina and Pasadena.com.au.
What we're doing here, Bill, is if you were a current player playing against Bill Brownless in the Giants, what would you go at him with?
Jim.
What sledging would you give Bill if you were on the field today against the great from Geelong? What would it be? We'll get your best responses in about 10 minutes. Have a listen to this. All right, MRP what? In. Luke Dunstan, I'll go from the bottom. Yes. Cleared for tripping Jack Redden.
That's
force
right.
used below that required, so cleared. Ben Cunnington cleared of contact with Tyson Goldsack.
Cleared.
Jake,
cleared.
I'm going from the bottom.
Hurry up.
Jake Melcham cleared of contacting Jacob Hopper. Brody Grundy can accept 2 games for rough conduct. That's the tackle on Ben Brown.
Sure.
Josh Jenkins, $1,000. Jackson Trengove, $2,500 wrestling sanctions. Mm-hmm. Zach Merritt can accept 1 game.
One.
For striking Lockie Plowman, that's that swinging arm to the guts.
Yep.
Joe Danaher, $1,500 sanction, striking Brent Bokhurst. Mm. Mitch Duncan can accept 1 game.
For what?
For striking the Papa.
When he takes a dive.
That's 1 game. And Shane Mumford can accept 1 game for rough conduct on Maxi Gawn.
Well, he tried to pull out, you see, that big mummy, but he did get him. Yep.
Tom Hawkins.
Oh, no, Jim. If he's...
2 games.
No!
For striking the ramp.
2 games for...
And it says here, which is what we discussed with Purple, penalty bad. Impacted bad record.
2 games.
2 games.
They've got to challenge that, Jim.
Bill, they challenge that. It goes out to 3 if it does not successful.
For striking Rampy in the throat, you get 2 games.
Like I said, it's the bad record that has hurt the great man.
I know that. But you take it on the incident itself, Jim.
They don't. The record counts in these instances. Mm. So, Bill. That is not good. You're already without the great Joel Selwood.
I'm going to go watch soccer this week.
Now you've got Mitch Duncan, your other gun midfielder, out. Mm. And Tom Hawkins, the big power forward, out.
Who do Victory play?
Oh.
I'm going to watch the soccer, Jim. We're soccer game.
Bill, that's not good news for the Cats.
I know, it's bloody terrible. I'm flat as a shit.
And you're taking on the white, hot Tigers.
Tigers who are flying.
Yes.
Haven't won down the Cattery for, I'd hate to think.
Back in your day.
What a shame only 200 fans can get in. Mate, they'll be trying to get in, the poor old fans.
MRP, that is large.
Mate, that is huge. Tom Hawkins, 2 games for a punch that he didn't land.
And Zach Merritt, let me put a scenario to you.
Yeah.
If Dusty Martin is untidy anywhere in the last
that's
3 weeks
and
has happened to him what Tom Hawkins just has
happened, that's right.
You could easily say that Zach Merritt's next in line for the Brownlow.
So he's out?
He's out.
So Tom Mitchell wins it now?
Well, who knows?
Oh,
I mean, Dusty's obviously, but if something happened to Dusty, and we hope it doesn't because he's a body
of
work,
to see,
he deserves to win it. But if, let's say he does something stupid somewhere,
Jim.
Zach Merritt's out as well, and Danger's out. They're falling like 9 pins.
Mate, it's a Steve Bradbury.
It is. Oh, that's big. Brody Grundy for the tackle on Benny Brown, 2 games as well. Now, after Nate Brown did such a good job on Triple M Saturday, we said, if you're playing against Bill, what would you go at him with verbally?
We shouldn't open the door like that, Jim.
Have they come for you, Bill?
Oh, crikey.
Even Jules.
Oh, we got some late entries here,
Julie
Jim.
Julie
Carter. Hey, Billy, remember those flags you won? Nah, neither do I.
Oh.
Julie.
Oh, come on, Jules.
Hashtag sledge fat.
Yes.
Lucas Coward Marshall. Coward Marshall. Mm-hmm. Was that 3 or 4 lost grand finals, Billy Boy?
Oh no,
they're coming late
Bill,
too, Jim.
We got a top 5.
Right.
Top 5's here. Benny Mac 76. Bill, you're supposed to kick the ball, not eat it. number 4, Loki. Bill, you should have played for Collingwood. The horizontal stripes make the guts look even bigger.
And that is true, by the way. That is proven.
Number 3. Hey, Bill, is your name Brownless or Hairless? Number 2, that was from Andrew Peters, who also says a couple here from Andrew, Pee Wee Peters. Hey, number 16. While you're doing nothing, can you introduce me to Gary Abbott?
That's not bad. That's good.
But the winner is Danny Gibson at DanGib27. Bill.
Oh, no, Jim.
The coach told me to play on the fat side of the ground, so I figured I'm lining up on you.
That's not bad.
Not bad, Bill.
Very good, Gibbo.
Yes, I like that, Gibbo.
Oh, late one. Give it away, Bridesmaids Brownless. Oh, Josh, they're still coming, Jim, but done, Gibbo.
Gibbo wins the Nina and Pasadena pack. So beautifully done there, Gibbo. We like that. Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
The top flight, Bridget Duclos, is coming up next. Can't wait to talk to her. Lots of things happening in her life, by the way. Bill's as flat as a biscuit. Seriously, he's given us absolutely zero, the fat man. And the reason for that is Tom Hawkins. Two games.
2 weeks,
for striking Jim. Dane Rampey.
Impacted by a bad record.
That's
we all
it.
Know that.
Mitch Duncan, Mitch. One game.
Oh, fair dinkum.
For striking little Papa.
Oh, Papa dived. Got the free kick.
Shane Mumford, one game for rough conduct on Maxi Gawn. Zach Merritt.
One.
One of the Brownlow favourites. One game for striking Lachie Plowman. $1,500 Joe Danaher. Brody Grundy, two games.
Two games, Jim.
Yeah, Benny Brown, rough conduct. Josh Jenkins, $1,000 Jackson Trengove, $2,500
Some big calls there.
And then Melcham cleared, Cunnington cleared, Dunstan cleared. So, Bill.
So, Melbourne Storm this Saturday I'm going to watch.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not the soccer. I've gone to the Storm.
You're filthied up.
I'm filthied up. They can get stuff.
Yeah. No. Even if it's down at Geelong Saturday.
No, not Geelong.
Richmond, that's your day at the Cremorne.
That's it, yeah. I'm going to bypass that and go to watch Melbourne Storm.
Are you?
Yep.
Righto.
I've had enough of footy.
We are down there Triple M footy Saturday.
Yeah. Who's with you?
Oh, we'll have all the big team.
Brian
course.
Back yet?
Well, we have Bristol. And I'm telling you, you need to listen from 12 o'clock Saturday because there's something massive brewing.
What?
If what I hear has happened has actually happened, I can't believe it has, Bill.
No.
Like, it is that despicable that I can't believe it's happened. But if it has, then stand by.
Is there cash involved?
Just stand by is all I'm saying. Because
if there is, Jim,
Bill,
I can believe it.
It has to be proven.
Yes.
And it must have been doctored.
Doctored.
It has to be. But it's that white hot, this story, Bill, that they're coming from other networks.
Oh, no.
Big Rick. Matty Richardson, one of my all-time favourites.
Yes.
Even he waded in.
He got involved.
Even Rick got involved. He just said, tell me this isn't true.
When are we going to hear this?
And I said, Rick, I can't believe it's true. I must admit. Big Duke from Breakfast, he waded in.
So when? When are we?
Well, we've just got to get our ducks in a row because it's actionable if it's wrong.
Which it's not.
Well, if you went with it, Bill, and it's not accurate, then it's actionable. But if it is accurate.
So knowing the situation, knowing the man involved.
Crikey Moses. Make sure you're listening 12 o'clock Saturday. That's all as I'm saying. Anyway, Bridget Duclos joins us next.
Joined by a great friend of the show, Bridget Duclos.
Oh, that's still one of the great songs, that, by the way. Hello, the Top Flight.
So you say still one of the great people.
And no doubt about that as well.
Hello, the Top Flight. And Bill, how are you?
Great to see you again.
Colleague.
We had a meeting the other night, Wednesday night, Jim, for the new Maguire Media.
Footy show.
Footy show. Have taken over the footy show, of course. So all the Maguire Media people were there.
And?
I'm just sitting there with the footy show guys. In walks Bridget Duclos in her work clothes.
And the first thing Billy does is take a photo and say, I'm sending this to the Top Flight.
Yes, and I saw you all frocked up.
I wasn't frocked up. I've been in the
right
office
up.
I was not.
You were.
I was so unfrocked.
And you'd taken care of your shag and everything.
Yeah. I hadn't taken
you
care.
You had
new glasses.
Yourself right up.
I
new Josh Gibson
good.
Glasses.
No, these have got lenses. They're actually 1.5. Yes. No, I'm working. Isn't it weird? I'm working there, the Top Flight, and you're not there.
You
it makes me sad.
And Ed go back a very long way.
Eddie and I met when we were 20. He hired me at Channel 10. He interviewed me and said, who's the Collingwood captain?
Yes.
And I don't think I answered that. Then he said, what nightclubs do you go to? And I told him, and I'm serious, he hired me. Then tried to crack onto all my friends.
Yes, that's it.
So we go back to, literally, what's that, years.
And on this station?
And on, we worked together here on the
drive.
Which one was that? The grill team?
Grill team, bloody hell.
So, Eddie, I'm so excited. But
what are you doing?
So, I'm a producer.
Oh.
Never done that.
No.
I have, of course, at home. I produce the family.
Yes.
I produce two children.
Yeah, you produce the odd meal.
Very good. I produce a meal occasionally. Yep. So look, we just got into, the show's obviously going to be a bit different with Ed behind it, but it's going to be really, it's really exciting, I think. And everyone in there is really excited.
So, have you
about
got
it.
A footy show role Thursday night?
I don't know what I do on a Thursday night. I'm
segment?
Too scared to ask.
Have you got a segment like Billy's Wheel or something? We can go out and do the wheel together, Bridge?
Oh, I don't think I've got a segment.
No.
Oh, what do you do on Thursday night? No one's told me.
Well, are you office bound or are you actually live on set?
I don't know.
I've
only been there 2 days.
Righto.
All I know is it's a lot of boys in the office.
I see.
And they're young boys.
Young boys.
And what I've noticed about young boys, very nice, they are lovely, young, respectful boys.
Yes. Mm.
They've all got nicknames.
Yes.
You know, no one's allowed to be called James.
Yes.
No.
Or Bill. That's not allowed. True. Or Leroy. No.
No.
Everyone has a nickname. It reminds me of you, Top Flight. I thought, what is wrong with, why can't boys call boys by their name?
I never have been able to.
But why?
Just don't know.
I mean, I'll just go through your team, you know. Duke, JB, what are you, Jim?
Bristle.
Frat, Bristle, Purple. Purple. Purple.
Well, Jim saw his hair one day and he thought it was purple.
The SCG, he dyed his hair and we were sitting up behind him.
I understand
his hair
that. So I understand
ever
that.
Since then, he's been known as Purple.
But, I mean, not so dangerous, Dave. You know, why can't he just be Dave?
Well, that's because you've never seen a less dangerous man.
Because it's Australia. That's what we do here.
It's a boy thing, though.
And an Aussie thing. And a footy club thing, much so, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it an Aussie thing? Like, would the, you know, the NBA basketball team, would they all have nicknames?
They tend to do more boring ones, don't they?
Yeah, not footy.
Like KB and things for the two.
Well, name a person you know who hasn't got a nickname.
Not who works in our environment, there wouldn't be one.
What about your lawyer?
Yeah, you're a bit more likely to go with the name with them.
Family court lawyer.
I find it funny because all my girlfriends, I went to a girls' night on Saturday night, you just don't think to do that.
No.
And it just, when I walked into this footy shop, it just made me laugh.
Yeah. So you're not called Westgate or Baldy.
No, I'm not actually.
Have you ever had a nickname?
I don't like either of those bridges. If I was going to be called a bridge, I'd be something like, the Golden Gate, surely.
Golden Gate. Yep.
I know what that is, girls. Thank you very much, and I've never been there. No, I've been called, Top Flight, by the Top Flight.
Yeah, Top Flight.
Duckers, I've been called, but that's only by boys. The boys.
Have you seen in that office a man with an extraordinarily large nose? Called Luke.
That might be my boss.
Is he your boss, Tony Cliff?
Tunners, yeah.
Because he gets called Snorkel by us because it's fair dinkum, his nose is that long. It looks like he could breathe out of it and underwater James Bond.
It's actually not that big.
I don't think it's big enough. I'm too busy saying, what do you want now, Mr. Tony Cliff, to look at his nose, but I haven't noticed it.
See, this is where it's funny because he has now taken on a position of quite importance within that business.
He runs all the content.
Yeah, so when Bill and myself and Gaz and we were all coming through like 15, 20 years ago when we worked together, he was, and I pardon my French, and I really hope he's listening, he was a shit kicker. he went and got you your coffee. That's all he did.
He's a good worker. He's a good worker.
And so he was very fortunate to go anywhere within the business. The only reason he did is because we allowed it.
And I know you're saying this because you're a good mate of his.
And so now he thinks he's bloody Christmas because he's running around.
He's a very important man.
Hey,
he's good at it.
His second baby is due,
I think,
this Thursday.
Almost as we speak.
Oh, well, this Thursday.
You know, it's like that whole thing, isn't it? You know, when players are having their wives having babies, will they play in the grand final?
Yes.
It's a bit like if the baby comes Thursday night. Will he turn up to the footy show?
Yeah, and his wife is beautiful. Too good for him.
Really?
In fact, I think she's leaving him pretty quick.
A bit like I don't think she's leaving him. She's having his second baby.
Well, after that. When she gets that all done, I think she's going to wake up one morning, look sideways and see his nose touching the roof and go, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm out.
Top Flight, what you're really good at is looking at everybody else's
serious
problems, but you don't seem to see
Well, he hasn't got any.
He looks like...
No, you ask him.
From side on, his nose looks like that shark that nearly bit Mick Fanning. The fin was out of the water.
Okay. I don't think so. I haven't noticed it myself.
Really? You haven't noticed?
No, I haven't.
Geez, you've dropped off us, haven't you? You used to be in here all the time at Triple M. Now you're making excuses. Can't make it today.
You know what I said to Jilly, your beautiful producer, I said, I would like to be here more often.
Good.
And she said, great. Then she went, no, back to once every 2 weeks. So you tell me who doesn't want me here every week.
Oh, now that you're a working woman,
I took a day off from the footy show every week to be here.
And
now I've been told not needed.
Good. Well, you are needed.
Work not done here.
We are going to take a little break here at the Top Flight because you're a Bayside girl.
I grew up in Brighton Beach where the incident happened.
And some weird stuff's been happening in Bayside.
I know.
Bridget Duclos.
Oh, Brighton Duclos.
Brighton.
Because that's certainly where you've done your best work.
Brighton. No, I haven't.
No, it was. No. It's a family home, and that's where those the Duclos sisters grew up. Two of them better looking than yourself.
Okay, we were born in Hampton. We grew up in Brighton when we were young, but I've never been back to Brighton, James, I'll point out, as unlike your good self who made himself quite the resident.
I came in.
I was in
Brighton Sunday night. Ooh. Two schools, they played each other, and the dads, they would have woke up sore Sunday.
The Vampires, was it? Brighton Vampires, was it?
The dads played.
The Celebrity, yeah, mate.
And the mums had had a couple of wines watching.
That's what we do.
Dads were grillers in the mist when I got there. I thought it'd be hoity-toity.
No, it's not hoity-toity. It's full of very nice people, like my mother.
And also people who go to the beach and get their legs eaten.
Yeah. Well, isn't it funny? Because Brighton Beach was where I grew up. But this poor young man who's been sea-liced.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have been sea-liced
Have you?
Yeah. Now, this is the worst story ever.
I didn't even know such a thing existed.
Neither did I, except we were on Hamilton Island. And you know how you swim out to a boat? Yes. You know, that was all fun. As we were swimming back to shore, this is me and my boyfriend at the time, who I married, in, as it turns out.
Yes.
We're swimming through and I felt this pain, like stabbing pain, oh, wow, going to every part, like pins into every part of my body. Anyway, we get out the other end and only me, not him for some reason. Clearly I was juicy.
Yes.
I had been attacked from head to toe by what I didn't even know what, but all these welts.
Wow.
Started appearing all over my body. Mm. Anyway, I went to the doctor. They said, you've gone through literally a whole, what's a swarm school? Or a school of sea lice. So they're like tiny, weeny little things. That just
jeez, I didn't even know they existed.
That night, we're out for dinner. It was the night. Proposed.
Oh.
I'm sitting there with arms.
Full of lice.
Welty arms.
Welty, disgusting, sea licey arms.
Any photos
and
from
he,
the
yeah, there's photos in the proposal. Might be why the wedding didn't work, the marriage didn't work, I'm not sure, but he had it all planned. And you know, you've got something in your mind. Mm. He wasn't to know the sea lice were on attack that day.
You'd have a look and you go, oh, postpone it for a while.
or postpone it forever. Yeah. You should have seen it, Bill, like literally.
Did you bleed like this kid? This
not
kid
as bad as him, but it was incredibly painful.
Well, this kid got out of the water and there's bleeding everywhere and walked home.
Yep.
Didn't want to go inside because didn't want to put blood in the, so yelled out from outside and they took him down to the hospital.
I know.
And then his dad went down and got some, put them in an esky, so there is some vision of it, in an esky with meat, and they're just eating all the meat.
But they're little tiny weenies.
Yeah, tiny little
they're like
things.
The things in your hair. You've had lice, haven't you?
Well, your kids have.
Yeah, I think you have. I think you have.
No, I don't think so.
I think you've had a type of lice.
No, I don't think so.
It might be a different type.
Yes.
I think it's called something. I think it's called another sea creature.
You're talking about down amongst the Rubik's Cubes. I don't think so, the top line.
But
I did have some teammates that did.
Well,
and one tried to put kerosene through them.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't want to go to the team doctor, so I'll just go and get some kerosene.
No, that's smart. How's he
just
going?
Red rash everywhere.
A friend of mine
some
had
of the funniest
them.
Stuff I've ever seen.
A friend of mine had them, and her boyfriend told her that you get them from camping.
the footy club rooms is always a great.
Our dribs and
the
drabs.
The towel, use someone's towel.
That was what it was, Bill?
Yeah, towel.
They came out of the towel.
But your sea lice are a nasty, nasty.
I didn't know. So are they seasonal? What happened? Where
I have
they
no idea. I thought they were in warm water because I was in Hamilton Island. I'm Brighton Beach. What's going on there? I take my dog there. That's worrying.
The time I went to Hamilton Island, all of the Whitsundays, the most stunning place in the world. If you haven't been there, you must go. It is beautiful.
Lovely.
But we were playing beach cricket with the Chief and Sam and Gaz and that stupid bloody BT. And,
so you're on a family holiday?
No, we were up there for this this thing years
on
ago.
Hamilton.
On Hamilton. Well, we started on Hamilton and went on this boat around the Whitsundays. Anyway, you know that the cricket where you skim the ball off the...
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great fun. Anyway, the March flies,
they
were nuts top flight. In the end, they drove us off the beach.
Yeah, ruined it.
Bloody huge,
too. It's very seasonal. You can only go at certain times. Like, even Port Douglas is vile when the stingers are out.
Yeah, you can't
go
to the beach.
We are deadly creatures in this country of ours. We are deadly for nice people.
Well, not a lot of people die from them, really.
It's off the Great Barrier Reef. What are those? Iroquois or what are those stupid bloody...
Stingers.
Yeah. The German tourist, while I was up there last year, died.
And another one the week after died.
Yes.
Yeah, we kill people.
Considering how many snakes and spiders and all these things we got, we're not too...
They're called an Iroganji or something like that.
Well, I've sat on a redback spider as well.
Sat on
it? When I was very young, I sat on a redback spider.
With your bottom?
With me bottom, and I blew up in... because I'm quite infectious.
You are.
I have an infectious personality.
Infectious.
True story, though.
I
was about two and I nearly died because I blew up in these big high
elephant man like.
It's amazing I'm so good looking, actually, after all this.
You must have looked hideous.
You just get bitten.
But your mum loves you. When
you... Oh, no. That's going too far.
Sorry, what was that?
That's
your segment on the footy show was?
Yeah.
The wheel. Come out the wheel with me, Bridget.
I haven't been bitten for a long time, but I am infectious, and I think some people have a more attractive skin.
Well, the scared. Yes, exactly. The Scaredies did a whole song on that, didn't they? Come to Australia, you might accidentally get killed. Because when
you
think about all
song,
the stuff we've got, the only thing we haven't got are dangerous animals.
We don't have piranhas.
No, and we don't have lions and
lions
tigers. And
tigers.
Oh, we do. We do. We have dangerous. Yeah, we have those pigs. Those big pigs are dangerous.
Yeah, but they're not going to eat you.
Oh, yeah.
They get eaten by
They really care. Oh, no, they do.
And the black cats and all that.
Oh, yeah, they can be nasty. Those tabbies.
I reckon, you know what? If you're out in the veld and you've got the choice between a male lion and a pig, yes. I reckon I'm taking the pig.
No, have you seen Razorback? Oh. That pig is terrifying. Have you seen that film?
Come through the door.
And what about Jaws? We've got sharks.
Yeah, well, we have got sharks.
We've
sharks.
Got it all. In fact, I'm quite proud of what we've got.
Have you?
Go Australia.
Nice. Go Australia.
Well, top flight, good luck Thursday night. Yes. I didn't realise it was such a big night for you.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I might be tea lady. I don't know. But I think one of my jobs will be to be there.
Good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Let's be there.
And actually do something.
Can you ask someone, Bill, what I'm doing?
I will. Tomorrow we've got a meeting.
We've got a meeting tomorrow.
10 o'clock. Yeah, you'll
preparing.
Know then.
I'm like preparing it. For it.
Make sure you're there.
All right. Thanks for having me every 2 weeks. I'll see you again.
Nice.
See
you. Can't wait.
Time now to touch base with the family out there, Jimmy boy.
Yes, that's what we do.
And we heard from Bridge there, old Segments Bridge, on the footy show about the sea lice down at Brighton.
Oh, wow.
And young Sammy, a teenager, was left unable to walk after being eaten by unknown sea creatures.
That's amazing.
Or sea lice, as Bridge said. And we here at Triple M, or the Hot Breakfast Gym, spoke to Sammy and asked him how it happened, Sam.
I was just sore from playing footy, so I went down the Brighton beach to ice my legs off in the water. It was bleeding pretty much straight away once I'd gotten out of the water. We tried to wash it off in the shower at home, and it just kept bleeding. Not really anyone has seen anything like it before. At Sandringham, they didn't have any idea. They tried to contact our hospitals and experts, but no one really had a clue what had caused it.
Unbelievable, Jim. You've seen the pictures. Like, there's blood everywhere.
It's just like his legs have been stripped.
Like a piranha.
Yep.
Which is unbelievable, Jim. So I thought about this all weekend.
Did you give it a lot of thought?
A lot of thought, this one, Jimmy boy.
Here we go then.
For the Rush Hour family on 133353. Hence.
Hence.
What has bitten you? Unusual, Jim. Unusual, Jim. What has bitten you?
No.
Unusual, Jim.
You cannot go with that
one. Sea lice biting you is bloody unusual. Jim, you saw it. That is unusual. What has bitten you? Unusual.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What are we?
They'll come, Jim. You wait.
Two big prizes.
Must have heard it yet. Hang on. Hang on. They're coming.
We're in delay.
Melanie's there from Melton. Good girl.
Bill.
What has bitten you? Unusual.
We need to have a meeting.
Actually, before the show, it'd be good. Poor old Sammy got bitten by sea lice, Jim.
Yeah.
Down there in Brighton.
I've never heard of sea lice.
Oh.
And we all go down there during the summer and swim everywhere in the magnificent country of Australia and city of Melbourne and state of Victoria. Oh, you'd be concerned, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would be.
You wouldn't want to run into that.
Oh, mate, there was blood. It looked terrible.
It looked like his legs had been stripped.
So we're asking the question, Jim. Yes. What has bitten you unusual?
Bit of work. You're asking the question.
Bit of work on in this one, Jim. Rush Hour team. Craig's there in Frangers. G'day, Craig.
G'day, Billy. How are you?
Good, champ. What's bitten you unusual?
I've been bitten by a heap of bull ants.
Oh, no. How? Were you on the nest?
I stood on a nest and didn't realise.
Oh.
And I was wearing my footy socks as I did. I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
And by the time the first one bit me, my leg was just covered in them.
Oh,
my socks. And I got bitten, would have been bitten by at least 50 to 100 of them. Gee. And was just throwing up and stuff by the end of it.
Fair dinkum.
And they hurt too.
Yeah, they do.
Let's stay there, Craig. Leon in Melton.
Leon.
Hey, boys.
Leon, what bit you?
A wombat.
What?
How?
Yeah, I was on a school camp in primary school down at Phillip Island, and, the ranger brought out the wombat, and we were sitting in a circle. It charged at me. I sort of jumped up, slipped over, and it bit me on my hamstring.
No way.
It charged at you?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I didn't even know wombats could bite people.
Yeah.
Well, this one did.
Didn't like you,
bit
obviously.
Him on the hamstring,
yeah,
Bill.
Just charged at him, bit him on the hammy.
Right, stay there, Heath's in Craigieburn. Heath.
Heathy.
How you going, guys?
Good, Heath.
Bill's thought about this question for 2.5 days and come up with what's bitten you unusual,
That's
Heath.
That's it, Heath.
Leeches.
Oh, yeah. You can't get them off, can you?
No, I was about 7 or 8 and went fishing and all that, and then I'm yelling and screaming at my dad and pop, hey, come and get these things off. And about 2 hours later, I went to go to the tour, and there's one on the old tossle.
Oh, the tedge.
How'd you get that off?
I didn't look at it. So the old man and that got scraped it off with a knife.
Oh, the old man scraped it off with a knife.
No, you don't want
to. I've got much left.
Bill, you don't want a leech on the tatch.
No, no.
I wouldn't have thought.
It takes all the blood too, Jim. No, there's no blood.
Bill, Jim. I could fit 15 or 20 on the... let's get to Hastings. Tobes there. Hello, Tobe.
How you going, boys?
Yes. What's bitten you unusual?
I got three little stories. First, when I was about 3 years old, a dog bit the better part of my ear off.
Oh,
and then another time, my mate got a heap of pet ferrets.
I went around there to see him. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, pick up the ferret. So I was like, oh, yeah, cool. They're not going to bite me or nothing, are they? He's like, no, they're casual as animals. They're chill. As soon as I grabbed one, it just ran up my shirt and bit me on the eye.
Oh, no, bit him on the eye, Bill.
Ran up your shirt and bit him in the eye.
And then the last one is my brother. He was at Frankston Beach and some kind of little sand bug bit a hole in his forearm and ended up with a big infected hole about 5 centimetre coin size. Wow,
ended
up in hospital for half a week off it.
It's dangerous out there.
Sand bug, Jim.
That's it. Tommy's in Churnside Park. Tommy?
Hello, boys.
What's bitten you, Tommy?
It wasn't me. Mrs. Dad got bitten on the man boob by a horse.
Oh!
So has he got big man boobs?
Yeah, a bit like yours, Bill.
Jeez, that would hurt.
Horses, buddy, hurt.
Mm. Yeah, big Tony Jones chompers. Don't worry about that.
That's it. Stay there. Craig in Croydon. Craig?
Pet alligator.
Oh, no, Craig. How big was it?
Well, about 2 foot.
He got bitten by a pet alligator.
I heard that, Jim. Is it you got a pet alligator? Is it yours?
No, I used to take a girl to work on the way to work, and she said one day afterwards, like, do you want to call it and see my alligator?
That old one, Craigie.
That's it,
and it was like the Munsters and the Adams family. There was Lurch and there was a cousin it. And she got the alligator out of the cage and he bit me on the arm.
Oh,
I bit him.
And then how'd you end up, Craig?
It was worth it.
You might have done some good work, Craigie boy. Tom, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. Let's get to Tom in Ringwood. Hello, Tommy.
You can't read the screen. Hey, Tom.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Good.
I got bit by a black mamba.
Oh, yep. the African snake.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I was over in South Africa when I was about 7 or so.
Yeah.
Got to the resort, you know, exploring, having a look around, and then thought what I thought was a big bloody centipede. And thought, I'll give that a kick, move him over.
Yeah.
Turns out it was a black mamba, lashed onto my foot, and that wasn't too fun.
Ooh.
But
The black mamba is one of the most deadly snakes in the world, Tommy.
It is.
Oh. So what happened? Did you get crook?
Oh, got a bit of anti-venom into me and then had to head off to hospital. But, yeah, apparently it was a juvenile. So, yeah, turned out all right. So, yeah.
That's a bad one, right. Jim.
It is bad. Well, stay there, Tom. Kathleen in Bacchus Marsh, Bill.
Oh, Kath. Cathers.
Hi, how are you?
Well, what did you get bitten by unusual, Cathers?
Well, it was my father-in-law. We had a property up at Body Doon. We took him to Main Dam and he came back and it was really hot and he was little bit intoxicated and wanted to go and jump into the dam.
Yeah.
So he put a life jacket on him and he went in next minute. After a little while, he soaked around and he started screaming. He was dragging himself out of the mud, completely mud all over, and he had a yabby on his penis.
Oh!
And he was pretty well hung, so...
Oh, no.
I'm not talking about the yabby.
No, Kath, looking at a father-in-law's 8 day here, Jim.
Hanging off the end of the bell end.
How did you get it
the
off?
The old German helmet.
How'd you get it off, Kath?
I didn't actually get it off, but my husband did.
Oh, no. Oh, listen to Kathleen.
She likes it. Shane's in Berwick. Shano?
Hey, boys, how you going?
Right, what has bitten you unusual?
I got bitten by an alpaca at the local farm.
Oh,
no.
They spit, don't they? I didn't know they bit a...
I got spat on and bit on. Like, not a big one, but, yeah, it says not to feed them. But I gave them a bit of bread and got me good.
Oh, I did.
Got you good.
You got alpaca'd. Heidi in Melbourne. Hey, Hides.
Hi.
Heidi.
I've been bitten by an emu. Technically pecked, but I think it still counts.
Yeah.
And how did that happen?
I was chasing my goat into a neighbour's paddock, and they have emus, and I was pecked, leaves a huge bruise.
Oh, where'd he peck you?
Right on the shoulder/arm.
Wow.
Chasing your goat, and an emu pecked you?
Yes.
Well, that's a strange...
That's Australia's national symbol, Hyde, so you'd wear that as a badge of honour, I'd reckon.
I do.
Emus can't walk backwards.
Well, that's what they say, but that's actually, I think, been proven to be incorrect, is it not?
Have you ever seen one walking along, Jim, backwards, Michael Jackson?
Well, on this show, I reckon someone rang a while back and said that's the thing about the coat of arms.
Yeah.
You've got the kangaroo and emu, neither can take a
backward step.
And I thought someone rang and said that's actually incorrect. Mm. Anyway. We digress, Bill,
because
we've got the prizes.
We could do that segment again. Please explain.
We're
obviously looking for one.
After today.
I had a lot of callers, Jim. Look at that. Mm-hmm. It's a very good one.
Now, Bill, match review. The big, we'll just take the big takings out are the fact that Tommy Hawkins gets 2 weeks.
2 weeks, Jim, for a jump with punch.
Brody and his past record counted against him. To the throat. Brody Grundy, 2 weeks.
Yes.
Mitch Duncan, 1 week.
For a dive on Papley's behalf.
And Zach Merritt, 1 week. So, Bill, you this week are taking on the White Hot Tigers.
Yes.
No Selwood, no Hawkins, no Duncan.
You know what? Danger's back. That's all we need.
That's all
he might just run out there on his own. Toss the coin, play in the ruck, tap it down to himself, kick a goal.
And win anyway.
Yes. All right. A bit of feedback on the social media. Boogers. I haven't heard from Boogers for a while.
Oh, Flogwopple.
Yeah, that's him, Jim. Bill's been on fire lately. Has he hired a team of riders?
No.
Oh, I don't know about that, Jim.
I haven't noticed any of that myself.
And also, Julie, she rang, I reckon, Friday. Jim said she was the designated driver.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
She was having a bad day. Well, she just sent a picture of herself drinking a frothy.
Nice.
I don't think she was designated driver last Friday, Jim. Don't worry about that. Good work, Jules. Like that.
Hey, Bill.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Who?
Wayne Carey.
Oh, the duck.
Now,
Jim.
Bill.
The duck.
We've been talking about something that will kick off Saturday, the midweek rub. The Saturday rub from midday.
Mm.
Now, ducks are part of the Saturday rub. And we need to get to the bottom of what's going on.
Ooh.
Because, Bill, what's being accused is horrific.
I
am strongly of the belief that it didn't happen.
Oh, geez, Bill, someone's got to you.
Until it's proven that it actually happened, Bill, I'm of the belief it didn't happen.
Someone's got to you, Jim.
This is a doctoring to besmirch a man's name. But, Bill, we will find out tomorrow when Duck comes in what he knows about it.
Jim.
Because, Bill, by the time Saturday midday comes around, you cannot afford be listening to Triple.
You've got to listen to this bit. If you haven't listened all year, listen to this bit.
I'm telling you now.
I think someone will blow up.
And Bill, Duck has no fear.
No.
No care about anyone or anything.
I'll give him that.
So he will just go, well, if it's true, we're going with it.
That's right.
There'll be no protecting anyone.
Jim.
Bill.
Jim. Stand by. I'm going to listen.
I've been getting missives from the purple-headed warrior for the last hour saying what is going on behind the scenes is extraordinary.
Oh, no.
People blowing up headless.
As the alleged one found out about it.
Left, right and centre, people headless. So it'll build through this week and then Saturday, midday, all roads lead to Triple M football.
What has been your biggest story on the Saturday rub?
Over the years.
The drink stealer?
Oh, the drink stealer.
That was big.
That was enormous. And the drink stealer's mob took out an injunction.
They did.
A legal injunction. I'm telling you, this might just top the lot. Anyway, so make sure you're listening tomorrow also, Mount Hotham, the quiz,
Oh, the quiz, Jim.
All right. Now, Bill, something humorous?
It's a good little story, Jim.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Yes, it is. No sponsor.
Oh, nope. Dropped off again.
Oh, well.
They sort of come and go.
Do they? Watch
it. Here we go.
A backpacker is traveling through Ireland, Jim, when it starts to rain. He decides to wait out the storm in a nearby pub. The only other person at the bar is an older man sharing a drink. After a few moments of silence, the man turns to the backpacker and says, in his thick Irish accent, Jim, you see this bar, son? I built this bar with my own bare hands. I cut down every tree and made the lumber myself. I toiled away through the wind and the cold. Do they call me McGregor, the bar builder? No, they don't. He continued on, Jim.
Not going with this one.
Do you see the stone wall out there?
No.
I built that wall with my own bare hands.
No.
I found every stone. I placed them in just the right spot.
No.
With rain and the mud. Do they call me McGregor, the wall builder? No, they don't, Jim.
Oh, no.
Do you see that pier out there, son, on the lake? I built that pier with my own bare hands, driving each pillow piling deep into the ground so that it would last a lifetime. Do they call me McGregor, the pier builder? No, they don't.
Yes.
You shag one goat.
Oh, no. No, Bill.
Now I'm known as McGregor.
Oh, no.
The goat shagger.
Oh, no. Bill, that, seriously, Moses was wandering off the mountain with the tablets when that one was first told.
Jim, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Oh, no. Come on, Bill.
Jim.
You can't
No,
go
that's
with that.
Not bad. No, it's a good story,
Bill,
delivery.
A thousand years old.
I'll tell you what I've lifted.
Oh, no.
Haven't I?
No.
I have lifted.
No, you haven't.
Actually, Goffy just said, geez, you're going well, Bill.
No,
last couple of weeks.
We need
good.
Actually to get plastic to lift us. Here he comes.
Here we go.
Come
good
on.
Good joke, Jake. Do you like that?
100,000 years old.
Notice how he nearly knocked off his headphones.
Yeah, I did notice.
Yeah.
Shut up, Leroy. You talk too much. Woo! Smack bang, Bill.
Bill. The coach told me to play on the fat side of the ground, so I figured I'm lining up on you.
That was the Triple M Rush Hour catch-up for the Xperia XZ Premium smartphone from Sony with a 4K HDR screen and super slow-mo video playback.